Chris Raby Show on a Wednesday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Happy to be with you. I'm your host, Chris Raby. It is the Wednesday, November 4th, 2020 edition of the program. Halfway through the week and looking forward to chatting this afternoon. I'm excited to visit with Rick Gaiman every Wednesday. You know that we chat with Rick Rungood, Rick Gaiman, to give you the latest and the lowdown on daily fantasy for the PGA Tour. We're going to talk not only the Vivint Houston Open, which I keep calling the Shell Houston Open, but also look ahead towards the Masters. So Rick Gaiman, Rick Rungood, one of the best for daily fantasy and golf wagering coming up in just a bit. Also, tomorrow, Dan will be with me. Every Thursday, Danny and I sit down in the studio. And if you've got questions for the mailbag or if you want to get in touch with us, give us a shout, drop us a line. You can email me, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. You can also, of course, find both of us on Twitter. Go ahead and subscribe to the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast. Subscribe, leave a review, and send me a screenshot, and we will get you some Scoops with Danny Mac swag. We are already sending out a couple of hats, a couple of shirts, and you can get one as well if you subscribe, leave a review, and then tweet me a screenshot of said subscription and review. All right, a couple of things right off the bat. First of all, yesterday had a really, really good time sitting down with five of my students at Webster University. I teach a broadcast class, a sports broadcasting class, that was kind of the brainchild of a couple of members of the communications department, including my guy Scott Jensen, last summer. So summer of 2019, summer of no pandemic. And, you know, after I decided that it was something I wanted to take on, they gave me a lot of freedom and flexibility and free rein to come up with the curriculum and the syllabus and literally everything. So we got a great program off and running last fall, and we were rolling with broadcasting basketball and getting ready for baseball and the conference tournaments and, you know, putting together some really, really, I thought, professional level broadcasts with, I don't know, maybe six or eight cameras. We had pregame, halftime, postgame down on the court. We had a sideline reporter who would do in-game interviews, obviously play-by-play color. So we were excited. And then this year, how do you broadcast when there's nothing to broadcast? And then throw in an extra wrinkle that five of my students are student athletes at Webster University. So, long story, not very short. I sat down with them yesterday for the show and had a conversation with them about what it's been like as not just students, and I guess that's most important, but also as NCAA athletes and athletes who, you know, are not, for instance, Division I SEC athletes like the Missouri Tigers, or are not, you know, A-10 athletes like the SLU Billikens or Big Ten athletes like the Fighting Illini. But, you know, they are navigating a lot of uncertainty, a lot of challenges, and they are doing it while they also have to be focused on class, while they don't have any scholarships available, while they are, you know, incurring a lot of additional cost and to some extent, for some of them, unexpected cost. So it was, I think, a great conversation with the five of them. And we talk so much about college sports. And I think that a lot of us view the pandemic now and view positive tests, listen, you don't have to feel guilty about this, but through a prism of, oh, that sucks. If X number of players on, you know, Vanderbilt test positive, then Mizzou won't get to play Vanderbilt this weekend. And what am I going to do for those 4 hours, right? Like, but there's a lot past that. Like that's, I think, a perfectly natural and human reaction. So I'm not going to try to explain how anyone should or shouldn't feel. But, you know, to actually get the stories of some of these athletes who are grinding and are grinding through this and dealing with a lot, I really think you'll enjoy it. And, you know, I think you'll also be really impressed by the, you know, caliber of young student athletes that we have in this community. So go on over to the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast or click on over to the website and check out that episode from yesterday. I also am going to start sharing with you some of the great content that I have in that class from guest speakers that I bring in. And it's everyone from current athletes, former athletes, broadcasters, different media members, coaches. And one of my favorites, Joey Vitale. Shout out to Joey. Joey and I are hosting an event at Olive and Oak next weekend. I'm excited to spend some time with Joey. And he spent some time with our broadcasting class and told an absolute gem of a story about Sidney Crosby. So over the next couple of weeks, I will share some of these little vignettes and stories and moments that these great personalities share with my broadcast class. And I won't even try to set it up. I'll just turn it over to Joey Vitale with a story of one of the greatest of all time, Sidney Crosby, while they were both teammates with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
He's just a guy like me and you, and I think you're 10 minutes away from that. I mean, you have to recognize the greatness. You have to recognize what he does for your team, and you have to set yourself up and set yourself up for him at times. And I don't know if it's arrogant, but I'll give you an example. You know, he's one of the most superstitious people that I've ever been around in sports or anything. I mean, from tape to his jacket to he's got the same jock strap he's had since he was like 12 years old. It's like all ratty and torn, and the poor trainer's got to like piece it together almost every 6 weeks or whatever, just to keep it together. But he's a very superstitious person. And I remember when I was dressing, I was the team DJ, meaning I played the music in the locker room, right? And this kind of gives you an idea to his superstitious behavior. I played a certain mix. We won that game. And the rule for the DJ is if you win, you play the same sequence of songs, the exact same songs in the same sequence, right? So I remember one game I was playing, I think the Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine, which is a terrific song. And he comes up to me, he's like, oh man, this is a great song. And I'm like, yeah, this is a good song. He's like, and he starts telling me, like, last summer he went with Braden Shen and a couple other hockey players, Nathan McKinney, went to Italy, and this song just came out. And this was like their theme song. They listened to it their whole trip. They went to Capri and Sorrento and Sicily and all this stuff. So I'm listening to this whole freaking story, right? We end up going out that night. We won the game. He got like a goal and two assists. So two nights later, we're in Philly. I play the same songs, right? And about 20 minutes into the mix, Dog Days Are Over comes on. And Sidney comes up to me and goes, hey, dude, this is a great song. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, it's a good song. He's like, did I ever tell you about my trip to Italy? I'm like, he's like, yeah. So I was in Italy with da da da. And he starts going through this whole story again, right? We're reciting the story. And I'm sitting there like, he must be concussed again. Like, you just told me the story like two nights ago. And we win. He got a hat trick, whatever. This went on for 16 straight games. We went on a 16 game streak. I mean, guys, it got to the point where I was so mind melting from this. Like, I was so tired of acting like I never heard the story. I used to hide out in the bathroom. Like, I knew the song was coming. I go in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, like, I'm kind of, like, cringing in the bathroom stall. And I hear the door. Boosh. Like, Joe, you in here? I'm like, yep. He's like, did I ever tell you that story when I went to Italy? When I heard the song? And I was like, nope. He's like, it was great. And he started screaming. Everyone's like, this has got to end. And finally, we lost. But the point of that story, aside from it being just kind of goofy, every player had something within Sidney's routine. Whether it was Pascal Dupuis, he'd always pass in the clear tape. He had to be in his stall at 12:06 on the clock to pass Sidney's tape. Dana Hines, our trainer, he would always give him like two elbows on the way out. Now, if he was in the bathroom, that would mess with Sidney's routine. You know, people like, well, everyone kind of sets aside for, it sounds like he's like the king and everyone just like, you know, has to like make arrangements for him. It doesn't sound like a leader to me, but it's not like that. It's not like he's arrogant. It's more of like the other players recognizing his greatness and knowing what he does for this team and for you. And you want to tailor to that. You want to contribute to that because he's just that special of a player. And then really that's what it's all about. So yeah, it was fun. The dog days are over.
Joey really knows how to spin a yarn. So, you know, I'm going to eventually, I think, figure out a way to, you know, do something more with these guest speakers that I have, because they're so incredible. But I also like to selfishly keep them and keep some aspects of them to the class. But that story, just incredible. You can imagine Crosby banging on the stall doors trying to find Joey so we can go through his ritual for the 97th straight day, as the Penguins just will not lose. And Joey really knows how to tell a good story. That is a common thread amongst hockey guys. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Rick Gammon is going to join us to talk a little golf. The Masters is next week. Rick Gammon has been making a ton of our listeners a ton of money with his DFS picks and his golf wagering advice and his website and the resources. I've given out a bunch of subscriptions to his website. I'll do some more of those as well, so don't go anywhere. Rick Gammon, Rick Rungood talks golf next. It's Chris Raby's show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Schnucks Rewards, one more reason to love Schnucks. Get the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards. The Schnucks Rewards app allows you to earn points every time you shop for money off your next purchase. But there's so much more in the app to simplify shopping. For instance, you can get exclusive digital savings, including over 100 new digital coupons every week. The shopping list helps keep you organized. Add items on the go, plus you can share it. Recipes in the app make meal planning easy. Search for recipes by ingredients and add them to your shopping list. Go to schnucks.com and check out more about the app that gets you Schnucks Rewards, the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it on the App Store or Google Play. The Schnucks Rewards app rewards you for shopping at Schnucks. Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com on a Wednesday, hanging out with our guy Rick Gammon, as we do every Wednesday. Rick from RickRungood.com is going to get us ready for not just the Vivint Houston Open, which I will call the Shell Houston Open a million times, and I will do it probably in every question that I ask Rick over the next 15 minutes or so, but also the Masters, which is next week. And it's been great having Rick on the show every week, helping to make our listeners money, or at least help our listeners make the most informed, analytically driven, and logically sound decisions that they can make when it comes to daily fantasy. So, Rick, thanks again, man. Always enjoy having you on the show. And a bit of a different field. Obviously, last week in Bermuda, we had the field of guys who were not in any of the no-cut invitational, so we didn't have any of the cream of the crop. Now we've got a couple of the top dogs mixed in. We've got guys that are bouncing back from missing some time. We've got guys that are not partaking as they look towards the Masters next weekend. It's a mixed bag on a new course, and it is the not Shell Houston Open, the Vivint Houston Open.
Some returning from, you know, positive COVID tests, for example. Other guys, you're trying to figure out what type of form they're in before we get to the big boy, to the Super Bowl, to what everybody's been waiting for. It's going to be in November, but I would take it if it was in January on Mars. The Masters is always great, but this is fun. Final little tune-up before we get there.
All right, and the proverbial phrase, tune-up, that's what I want to ask you about. It's generally a very, very hard, or I guess a fool's errand, to try and handicap motivation. Yes. Try to handicap what's in between the ears. And I always, just kind of a rule when it comes to professional athletes, assume that, you know, they're busting their ass. They're competitors. They're trying to win 100%. But as we start to look at this field, do you take into consideration at all, Rick, the fact that a lot of these guys, it is a tune-up and they are focused on Augusta? I know that's probably impossible to quantify, but is it something you consider at all?
So the short answer is no. The longer answer is, you know, I'm guilty of this too, right? I just called it a tune-up.
I'm not saying anyone's going to like walk off the course on Friday on the fourth hole, but yeah.
If these guys are in contention, they are playing to win this week. It's like, I don't know, $1.2 million. It's extending your card for another 2 years. It's a big deal to win on the PGA Tour. It doesn't matter when it is, what tournament it is. And if you're in the heat of battle, there's no better way to prepare for the Masters than go out and play your best and win and have all the confidence in the world, right? So that's part one of this. I do think that there are a few guys, and to your point, Chris, you will never be able to quantify this, that they might hit some shots that they're trying out for Augusta National. Tiger's infamous for this. Now, obviously, he's not in the field this week, but he would routinely, you know, try to hit those big looping draws, play some shot shapes that he thought might play at Augusta National. Now, of course, he is a different breed. He's not human. He was, you know, winning 25% of his starts. So, long story short, there might be a couple of guys who try a few things, might tinker with a putter or weights or something like that on the bottom of the flat stick. But in general, it's going to be impossible to quantify, and once these guys get going, they're there to win it.
All right, I guess the way I should have phrased the question was, does the placement of this tournament at all change the way you view the guys at the very, very, very top of the board? Because obviously things might be different for a Brooks Koepka than for, you know, any number of guys in the field who are fighting for status and money. You know, we know that Brooks almost always is very public about focusing on the majors. I also know that, you know, if he wasn't 100% healthy, I don't think he'd be going. But is there any different handling of the very, 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 very top guys compared to the rest of the field in a tournament like this?
I think you could argue some weeks maybe leading into a major championship, but this one's so different, and these guys are you know, each player by player is in a different situation. So Dustin Johnson, first start,
like DJ
back
hasn't played.
Yeah, exactly, right? So he's got to actually try to play well. He's got to shake some rust off. He has to kind of go after this. Tony Finau hasn't won in 4 years. He hears that every single time. He's trying to win every time he tees it up. Brooks Koepka, he's got one start back since the U.S. Open. I mean, these are guys that aren't necessarily just firing on all cylinders. They're not just teeing it up to flush a couple of irons and feel good heading to Georgia next week. I think these guys still have a lot to prove and a lot to figure out in their games. I think there's a lot of question marks at the top of the board.
All right, so question marks at the top of the board. We'll get into that in a moment. And I need to stop calling it the Shell Houston Open. It's the Vivint Houston Open. So
they've gone to renewables.
Vivint, yes. So shout out to Vivint. At least some people are trying to make the world a better place this week. And I ask you, Rick, with uncertainty and a new venue comes also uncertainty from the PGA Tour. It's kind of been out on social media. I know you were tweeting about it, that we've got maybe a variety of information, and not only a new course, but a scorecard that perhaps is going to need to be replaced as well. Do you want to explain to folks just kind of some of the storyline around the course and the last couple of days, what's transpired?
Of course, I'd be happy to. Memorial Park Golf Course, it is in Houston, Texas. It is a municipal course that you can play for about $50. So if you want to go play a PGA Tour caliber golf course, this is your best opportunity, very cheap greens fees. And this is the first time it's going to host a PGA Tour event since the 60s. It's gone through a complete redesigned by Tom Doak with input from Brooks Koepka. But the big story Sunday, Monday of this week was that this course is unique because it has five par fives and five par threes. Now, the problem with that is that was the original scorecard that the PGA Tour provided us, provided all the members of the media. They provided us that scorecard. We find out Tuesday evening, that's not the right card. They converted two of the par fives for the members into par fours. So now number one and number 14, which were originally par fives, are very long and presumably very difficult par fours. So your scoring opportunities on those two holes just went away. This became a much different golf course, a much more difficult golf course, essentially in one tweet when the PGA Tour finally corrected us on what the official scorecard was.
Yeah, and for guys who are not familiar and have not played the course from a preparation standpoint, I'm just curious, like, how it affects guys who don't have boots on the ground. And again, I'm not suggesting that, you know, the best golfers in the world are going to be thrown off by, you know, a different card than they were maybe anticipating. They'll be there, they'll get their work in, but it's, I don't know, surprising to, it's either surprising to have a clerical error like this, or it's more surprising that it somehow doesn't happen more often with new courses, I guess, in the way that they, I mean, just the way that they reroute some of these places and the way that they literally become different courses sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of these courses, especially the public ones, I guess even the private courses too, you know, play so much different for members. They have that short par five or something like that. So you usually see the nines get flipped. You usually see a par five turn into a par four or something like that. But to get corrected on it Tuesday evening is a bit surprising. That's much later than we would normally see. You know, some of the guys on the tour, you know, they might have played a practice round on Tuesday. And I will you know, bend the knee to some of my buddies in the industry that say par is just a social construct, right? It doesn't matter what par is. All you do is you play it in as few strokes as possible, and everybody plays that same way. So I get it. It is just weird. It's different. The strategy might be altered.
I mean, how about the clubs that you might have taken out with you in your practice round on Tuesday?
Yeah, you might have been thinking, especially if you're maybe a shorter hitter, oh, this is a three-shot par five. Maybe I'll add another wedge into the bag, or I'll try this one out. Or if I'm a longer hitter who might be able to get there in two, maybe I want to try that driving iron off the deck. Yeah, I mean, it is incredibly interesting and rare that something like this happens. But I think you're right, Chris. Maybe it should happen more often. They're usually pretty good about this.
I do know that a number of guys carry seven woods now, so maybe it affects the seven wood strategy. All right, Rick, well, before we do glance ahead at the Masters, give us an idea, because again, new track, and last week with just the second Bermuda championship, or the second, I guess it's no longer the Brendan Todd Invitational, it'll be the Brendan Todd Brian Gay Invitational, but give folks an idea of how you start to attack building a roster. The cheat sheet, obviously, at rickrungood.com is absolutely indispensable, but what things do you pay attention to? What things do you not put as much emphasis on? And what's important to remember in another situation like this for the second straight week?
Yeah, we're throwing out all the course history. So Russell Henley, who has won the Houston Open, he's got like five other top 10 finishes. Don't worry about that. Russell Henley, he's playing great right now. He's got four top 10 finishes in his last six starts, but all that good stuff did not happen here at Memorial Park. So don't worry about it. So we can throw out all the course history, and we can just look at skill sets, and we can look at recent form. So I did mention, you know, if you're going to play Russell Henley, who's $9,400 on DraftKings, for example, I hope you're doing it because of his recent form, not because of that course history. And then I do think now that we get the, you know, the, I don't want to say the altered scorecard, the correct scorecard, the Bombers are more in play now, which I hated. I thought this was going to be a course that was really going to allow anyone to kind of take a crack at it. But we've got a handful of very long par threes. We now have those two par fives that are converted into, you know, two par fours that are over 520 yards. Now I do think distance is much more of a requirement than I did just a few days ago.
Rick Gammon with us. RickRungood.com is the website. Well, give us a guy or two that you like this week, Rick, and whether it be from a DFS standpoint that you're going to lock in on and make sure you have a healthy representation of, or from a wagering standpoint. Who stands out to you?
Yeah, I know we're recording, so let's get this on tape here because I rarely say it. I think it's Tony Finau. I think it's time for Tony Finau. 18-1 to win the golf tournament. He's $10,900 on DraftKings. You know, there's a couple of question marks with the guys around him. There's question marks about Dustin Johnson making his first start back off the COVID list. There's question marks about Brooks Koepka and his knee. Tony Finau has been phenomenal from tee to green for basically eight straight months. And he's got a couple of finishes recently that I think, you know, would be classified as disappointments, things that got away from him on the weekend or got away from him on Sunday. But he's going to be able to hit driver on basically any hole that he wants at Memorial Park. Those long par threes that I mentioned and the really long par fours now play much more into the hands of Tony Finau than I think they even did a couple of days ago. So as much as I liked him on Monday, I think I like him even more now from the top of the board.
Yeah, and our buzzword is always, you know, bias or recency bias. And with Tony not playing a ton, 20, 21, 22-1, somewhere in there, seems like pretty good value considering where he was when he was on that run and how short his odds were just a couple of months ago, Rick, on a week-to-week basis.
For sure. And I mean, of course, the knock is always going to be that he doesn't win, right? Hasn't won since the 2016 Puerto Rico Open. He's had a lot of close calls since then. I get it. He's got more top tens than anybody without a victory on the PGA Tour in that time span. So he's putting himself in position. And from a fantasy standpoint, which I actually probably like him even more from a fantasy standpoint than I do an outright betting standpoint, he makes so many birdies, Chris, that he kind of outpaces himself. He could finish T6 in the tournament but be the third highest fantasy scorer. So he's appealing from so many different angles that I'm locking him into the vast majority of my lineups.
All right, rickrungood.com is where you can go. Check out the cheat sheet, all the tools, the optimizer, and set your lineup for the Vivint Houston Open. Let's talk just a minute, Rick, before I let you go, about the Masters next week. And I think one of my favorite things about leading up to the Masters is just imagining all of the guys who take these cool covert trips into Augusta. I wonder right now how many guys are there. Like, if you're, a PGA Tour player, the thought that you could, like, probably just show up the last week or two in Augusta and play Augusta National when you want is pretty unbelievable. So that to me just adds to the mystique, especially having the fall Masters reconnaissance missions, I'm sure, for some guys, just because the course is going to play a different way because it's November, right?
For sure. I mean, there's obviously a lot of speculation. The fall in Georgia could be unseasonably warm. It could be unseasonably cold. But what we're getting out of this, and from players who have actually played Augusta National in November, Tiger Woods, Sebastian Munoz, two completely different players, but they were very candid about their experiences at Augusta National in the fall, and it plays so much longer. You get an opposite wind that is now into you on 1 and 18. Tiger Woods mentioned he hit driver 3-wood into number 1 and driver 3-wood into number 18. I mean, it just plays much longer. If they get rained on, it could play a little bit softer, but otherwise, if it's firm, fast, I think things could get a little crazy. But yeah, it's a crapshoot at the moment, and it's going to be day by day leading up to this event how much the weather and how much the conditions are going to play an impact. But I absolutely think they're going to play an impact.
And Rick, my eyes lit up on rickrungood.com. The Masters cheat sheet is already up. This is amazing. This is amazing. Tell folks what they can find, obviously, on the cheat sheets on a week-to-week basis, but you've already got numbers up. You've got some projections up, point projections up right now, strokes gained data, and God, it's just tantalizing to look at the field and start to crunch some of the numbers and start to parse through some of them. I've had a blast already.
Yeah, you know what's the best about Augusta is it plays so similarly every single year that you get some of the best data out of it. So when you look at the cheat sheet and you look at the event history, guys, and how they've played at Augusta National, you'll just see rows of golfers that are top 10-ing it every single year and guys that are really struggling every single year. It's one of the most consistent courses in terms of performances that we get on the PGA Tour, which makes sense. We play every year. It plays almost exactly the same, but the cheat sheet also does have projections. It has their lead in form. It points out guys like a Bubba Watson who have a bunch of green blocks on there, Chris. You've got a couple of green jackets in 2012 and 2014. He has two top 12 finishes in his last two trips to Augusta. He's been just phenomenal from tee to green. He's $9,000 on DraftKings. He's probably, I don't know what his betting odds are at the moment. I got him a couple of weeks ago, 30-40-1, something like that. I mean, it's just so easy to look at the cheat sheet and be able to identify, especially in weeks like this, golfers who have that inside knowledge around Augusta National, which we know is so critical, and if they've been able to convert that into results.
Have you been?
No. How about that?
Me either.
I got to convince the CBS guys to send me down there. I got to get like the media credential.
I think it's like impossible to get even a credential. We've got a guy in St. Louis, a golf insider, Dan Reardon, who's great, who does, has done work for CBS and long time at KMOX here in St. Louis. And, he's been going for like 30 or 40 straight years. But like, unless you're grandfathered in at some point, it seems like it's really, really tough. It's just, man, I don't know if there's another event that so many people who are such diehard fans who would do whatever it takes and, in some cases, pay whatever it takes, I'm sure, still can't get there. It just adds to the mystique.
It adds to the mystique. It's almost.
And I keep entering that lottery. I keep entering the women's lottery. Just somehow, some way, it has to happen.
How about just a practice round? Give me a practice round pass. Come on, guys. I think it's almost like when your team's in the Super Bowl and everybody sells out and they're willing to drop the $5,000 or whatever to fly wherever the Super Bowl is and watch their team play. It's like that, but it's every single year. I mean, it's just, it's there. It's beautiful. The tradition. I mean, we won't have, I don't know if anybody can figure out how to make azaleas bloom in November. I bet you it's the guys over at Augusta National. I don't know if we'll have them blooming, but if anybody can do it, they can.
All right. I'm going to, let's see, the online application for, not just next year, but the women's amateur the week before is up, and we both need to apply. And then I think Rick Rungood, Chris Raby, we take the show on the road and we develop the degenerate cheat sheet for the women's amateur tournament the week before. And we are, credentialed media to cover that and help the people set their women's amateur DFS lineups. I just figured it out, Rick.
I love it. I'm in. Yeah, wherever you need me, whenever you need me, we'll figure out the data. Yeah, I'm in for that.
Rick Gaiman from rickrungood.com. Check it out, not just the Houston Open, but also the Masters cheat sheet. So many goodies over the next week and a half or so. And Rick, look forward to the holiest of all weeks next week. Enjoy the appetizer. Don't get too full because we'll talk before dinner next week.
Let's do it. Thanks, Chris.
Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. All right, big thanks to Rick Gaiman for joining us on the program today, and thank you to my Webster students who joined me yesterday. If you haven't checked it out yet, listen to the Chris Raby Show from yesterday, and I think you'll enjoy the roundtable sit-down that I had with five of my broadcast students who are also student-athletes at Webster University. Tomorrow, Danny Mac joins me, and we will be in studio doing and talking about who knows what. You can email me, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com, or tweet us if you want to toss some bait into the water and see if any of the sharks nibble up the takes. We will be wandering around as we usually do, and I will have a Thursday list. I think people are really going to like this Thursday list, and I'm guessing, actually, I am very confident, 100% confident, that the feedback and the submissions that we get from people for tomorrow's list will blow the first three or four of them out of the water. So that all comes your way tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm your host, Chris Raby. Until tomorrow, be nice to each other. And as always, peace.